everybody. Welcome to the Bills Wire podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas, here with managing editor now, Nick Wotan. Nick has taken over the Bills Wire site recently in the last couple weeks, Nick. And then, you know, with training camp starting, we had a little bit of a lull with kind of that in-between spring ball and now summer camp underway. We also wanted to get Nick on, especially for this episode, because we wanted to announce something on the Bills Wire podcast and for Bills Wire to all the Bills fans out there listening. And Nick, I guess you can, as the managing editor, the guy, I guess maybe it was a team effort for you and I to come up with this plan going forward with the appetite, you know, really high for Bills coverage. We thought that we could do maybe something daily, right?
Yeah, Jeremy, thanks for the warm introduction there. As the new managing editor here with Bills Wire, I've been pretty excited to take over after Kyle. Kyle's, of course, still going to be in the Bills sector of things, but now he's working with the team. So Kyle went and I guess he's improving himself from us, right, Jeremy? But
definitely. Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, Jeremy, as you mentioned here, our little announcement is we're going to try to grind every single day, Monday through Friday. We're trying to have a daily Bills Wire podcast for you guys, and the number one thing that we wanted to do here is just get everyone engaged in as many different outlets as we can. There are some Bills-related podcasts out there, Jeremy, but of course, not really any of them every single day giving you something new, giving you something fresh. With our means a little bit limited in the sense of credentials and that sort of thing at Bills Wire, we wanted to do something that was different. We wanted to do something that we could keep engaged with people every day. You guys can listen to us, get something fresh out there. You can listen to us on your way to work, on your way home to work, while you're pretending to do work, while you're at home. However you want to listen to us, we're going to be there. Since we're going to be on here every single day, Jeremy, we're of course going to have plenty of episodes. We're just trying to have some fun here, especially as you mentioned, we just got out of the dog days of early July. Not exactly a lot of football going on, but yeah, you can check out Bills Wire every single day, Monday through Friday. Hopefully by the time some of you listen to this, we'll be on episode 3, 4, or 5. So go back and listen to our old ones and make a whole day out of it eventually, I guess, at the Bills Wire podcast. But definitely a team effort. I'm not going to take all the credit here for this, Jeremy. You're very gung-ho about it, and I'm excited to do this quite a bit with you.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun because, like you said, there are other great Bills Wire or great other Bills podcasts out there, but nothing daily. And we wanted to kind of get as much Bills information out there, analysis. I'm going to try to line up as many interviews as I can too, to keep content fresh. We're going to do analysis. Once games start, I'm sure we'll be doing a lot of post-game analysis, recaps, stuff like that, if it's going to be as we plan daily. So yeah, keep it definitely locked here for the latest information. And we're just really excited about doing it. We'll have obviously other Bills Wire writers on. Rich has joined me in the past episode, so I'm sure if he's available, he'll be back. In addition to Nick and myself, we're just going to keep this as kind of light, entertaining, as fresh. They're not going to be long, drawn out podcasts. We just want to give you kind of something to, get you to and from your drive to work every day, or you mentioned too, like at the airport, whatever the case is. We just thought that this could kind of fill a good void for people who want more Bills information and more Bills talk. So without further ado, Nick, I think, we're kind of into camp the first few days. The pads are back on. The quarterback battle is pretty wide open at this point. I thought to start this kind of daily series for the Bills Wire podcast, just kind of go over really the expectations for this ball club this year. Making it into the playoffs, of course, for the first time since '99. Where, I guess, do you see, overall, we'll start first, do you see this team going? Because you can make an argument that they're going to take a step forward and try to go further than the playoffs, or I think many prognosticators are thinking this team is, at least the roster and talent, worse off than last year.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where I lie, Jeremy. There's just, on defense, you have far less question marks. That's the easier one to talk about, right? I mean, there's maybe a question mark. Avante Davis, is he going to come back 100%? Slot corner, is it going to be Philip Gaines, who came in Pro Football Focus doesn't really have him rated very highly in the last 2 years with Kansas City? You got a rookie battle there with Teron Johnson. Other than that, I mean, all these free agent signings have to hit. But let's start on offense, Jeremy. It's just there's question mark after question mark after question mark. And how much can your defense make up for that? I think a little bit. But, I mean, you got four question marks on the offensive line, another four behind Kelvin Benjamin at wide receiver. The biggest question mark is who the hell is going to play quarterback for this team. So good luck, LeSean McCoy. If, by the way, hopefully he's there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's also, I guess, okay for now. They're going to let that process play itself out. He's going to, I guess, continue to do his thing, show up, be there. But
the process.
With the offensive line too, there's some kind of, I guess, a solid foundation with who they want. They have Dukas, they've got Bodine, they've got their guys that they want to fill in. Right now, it seems like they have a first unit, but that could also be, it's still kind of early in camp, that could also be a question mark too. So yeah, we'll start with the offense, and we'll save the quarterbacks for last. I guess we'll start with wide receiver, because whoever's going to be quarterback, and we've talked about this too on prior podcasts, Jeremy Curley comes in. You had the chance to interview him this offseason. He seems like he could be one of the more dependable outlets, one of the more dependable options for whoever's behind center. Who do you like so far? Reports out of camp said, Robert Foster's having a decent start. Who do you think could maybe step up?
Well, there's been a couple guys, Jeremy, that have kind of popped off a little bit, if you will, for lack of a better term, at the start of camp. You mentioned Robert Foster, who's interesting. I thought the most interesting part in regards to Robert Foster so far is on, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Friday when Brian Daboll had his last, the Bills offensive coordinator, his last interview with the media. And, he was previous to being the Bills offensive coordinator. He was on the sideline in Alabama with Nick Saban as the Crimson Tide's offensive coordinator. And that's where Robert Foster went to college. And the easy connection there, hey, Brian, did you bring in Robert? And he almost asked back the question, who's Robert Foster? He just completely played off the fact that he was his coach prior. Robert Foster didn't really make a big impact at Alabama either, but as you mentioned, it seems like he's building a little bit of a relationship with Josh Allen there, Jeremy. A couple passes that they've connected on, of course, because Allen's running, I guess we'll end up talking about quarterback, of course, but he's running with the depth team, if you will. Yeah. Aside from Robert Foster, though, we've heard a little bit about Brandon Riley, who was a training camp darling last year. One of my guys that I like myself, kind of Foster, an undrafted guy, but really, aside from Kelvin Benjamin, there's still a lot here that can be played out. No one's really completely stepped up. I mean, we're talking about Foster and Allen, but that's a depth connection here. We're looking for that solid number two. Is Zay Jones going to be that? We don't know. He hasn't gotten out in the field yet. So just a lot of question marks at wide receiver, Jeremy. I don't know if there's someone who's in your mind, could come out here and contribute other than Kelvin Benjamin.
No, I'm thinking Brandon Riley, like I said, I think, too, in a prior cast, with you. He's potentially, that he has the inside track. A lot of these guys are undrafted free agent rookies or rookies themselves or, veterans that...
That's the word, probably.
Yeah, and they're just, like, veterans, too, who... I don't know, are just kind of, retreads.
Yeah, exactly. Retreads a great word.
Yeah, so then, with all that said, Riley was, he served kind of his role learning about being a pro last year. I think that he did impress the coaching staff, but wanted to season him a little bit more after 1 year under his belt. So I think it's his job to lose in terms of a roster spot. Now, will he start, opposite of Kelvin Benjamin? I'm not sure, but I think he's got a good shot at it. Moving over, Rich would be so happy about this, Kowalski. We're going to go to tight ends, because pass-catching tight ends who could maybe help the wide receiver group. You know, after Charles Clay, obviously, you don't have a lot of great pass catching tight ends, although Clay himself, if he's out there with 31 personnel, you know, could make an impact in the passing game. You know, what are your thoughts, I guess, on the tight end group not being really deep after him? I mean, of course, you have Nick O'Leary there, but, you know, he's been banged up a little bit early in camp, and I'm not sure if he is limited in his abilities just as a pass catcher in this league or not. Great in college, but I'm not sure if he's going to ever flourish into, you know, a top pass-catching tight end. What do you think about that position?
Yeah, I think tight end, you see where the NFL is going nowadays, Jeremy, where teams have multiple pass-catching tight ends that can get involved in the passing game. I've never really been big on Nick O'Leary. I think fans are just infatuated with him because of his family ties and that he doesn't wear gloves.
The whole Jack Nicklaus grandson connection? Yes, okay.
Love that. It's a cool story. He doesn't like to talk about it at all, Nick O'Leary himself. But
I bet he doesn't. Has to be.
Yeah, it's, I think just, it's annoying for him. But last year he had 22 catches for 322 yards and two touchdowns, his first two touchdowns of his career. I think he leaves more to be desired there. Number two, of course, when he went out, he's walking around in a walking boot now, spotted today on Sunday at training camp. We had Logan Thomas that maybe he's kind of like the Swiss Army knife, you know, big guy. He used to be a quarterback. Well, then he goes out there and he hurts his shoulder today. Earlier last week, as we mentioned, we're going to try to have fun in these podcasts, and I'm sure we'll talk about my infatuation with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, but they had the former contestant from this year's season of The Bachelor, Clay Harbour, in for a visit. So I think that they're cautiously looking to add to that, to the depth there, and I would probably think they should. Going into next season, of course, they bolstered the defense this offseason. Seems like next season everything's lining up with their lot of salary cap room that they're going to try to add to the offense next offseason. But maybe the sooner the better to get a better depth guy in there that could be a target for them.
Yeah. And then let's go to the offensive line. And it seems like they have what they want for a first unit to try this out. I believe they have Bodine at center and Dukas at left guard, Dawkins at left tackle, who's looked pretty good, I think, in camp, which is encouraging because as a sophomore, you hope he doesn't have a slump. You know, filling that really crucial, important left tackle role for any team. And then on the right side, you've got who's that right guard right now? I think they actually have John Miller there coming back, which is a great story. I often thought that he might be better than Dukas, but for some reason the coaching staff liked Dukas with that unit last year. And John Miller is really, you know, going to be an interesting player for them, and, you know, often picked. I've seen too a lot of guys picking him to be kind of a comeback player for this team. How do you like the offensive line? Do you think Richie and Eric Wood's departures make a huge impact, or do you think that this, because the Bills are making this point, these guys aren't just scrubs off the street. They played a lot of football, and they have a lot of good ability. So should fans still be worried?
Yeah, I know right now pretty much the looks like the first team offensive line, as you mentioned, is probably almost there. Are they going to perform well? We don't know yet. We got to see them in game situations a little bit more. But other than Ryan Groy and Russell Bodine switching in and out of center, it seems like I think every day they're sort of battling it out, switching them in there. I think this unit can be average at best this year. Just so many question marks. It seems like going from right to left every single year, it seems like they want to bring someone in to replace Jordan Mills. You bring Marshall Newhouse in, and now Marshall Newhouse is taking reps at guard. He's a versatile guy, and he's not really pushing Mills, it doesn't seem. Miller and Groy are two guys who have me pretty interested and pretty infatuated in these guys and see how they're going to do, Jeremy, because if you think back 2 years ago in 2016, Groy came in, started 7 games, and performed great. Didn't give up a sack when Eric Wood went down with an injury. John Miller, at the end of 2 seasons ago, Anthony Lynn, he was the Bills head coach very briefly, mm-hmm. Actually, I think this is when he was the offensive coordinator. But anywho, when he was in town, he said that he thought that John Miller was a Pro Bowl snub. So, I mean, that's how far Miller fell from grace. But these guys, they both thrived in a power run blocking scheme. And that's what Brian Daboll is bringing back. Rick Dennison ran the zone scheme last year and sort of started factoring in more of the power run scheme. It just seems like going back to that is going to pay dividends for the Bills. You mentioned it. Hopefully Deion Dawkins, no sophomore slump, because that's the one spot that you're banking on to be.
You want that to be that anchor there.
Exactly. And then at left guard, I'm interested to see if maybe if anyone else starts pushing Dukas. Wyatt Teller, you haven't really seen him too much get any first-team reps. But going back to Groy and Bodine, both those guys actually have the versatility to play guard as well. They've played it both in the pros and in college. So I think there's still going to be some shuffling going on here, and I'm interested to see if one of these centers, if they end up going over to guard. Groy didn't do it last year at all. He's even played tackle, Groy. So he loses out. I think Groy might just be that first guy up for anywhere in the offensive line. But we'll see. We'll see, Jeremy. I think they're average at best, though, maybe this year.
Yeah, you know, the right tackle spot with Jordan Mills, I thought that would be an area where the team would want to improve. I thought he at times struggled last year, was maybe the weak link out of the five. But, you know, he's been average, and I thought that they would maybe want to upgrade there, and it seems like they brought in a guy in to compete with Marshall Newhouse, but I don't know if that's going to be enough of an upgrade if that pans out either.
What really interests me is, even going back to last year, I mean, Deion Dawkins was brought in to beat Jordan Mills out, and he couldn't. And then Cordy goes down, and they were hesitant to put Deion Dawkins in there, but then they put Dawkins over on the left side, and it's almost like some light went off to Dawkins, like, hey, I can be the anchor of the left tackle of an offensive line. And Mills, he's just steady Eddie, and I think the thing that people get on Mills for is that when he gets beat, he usually gets beat pretty ugly. Like, it doesn't look pretty when he gets beat sometimes, so fans go, oh, Jordan Mills. But he's, like I said, average at best, I think, for this line. Maybe if he's the weakest link, I think he's average at best, too. So there you go.
All right, and then in the backfield after LeSean McCoy, you've got, you know, Keith Ford, Tywan Jones, Tavares Cadet, Marcus Murphy, Chris Ivory, of course, who they brought in. Capable, you think, backups for McCoy if he is not able to suit up, if the league kind of does their own investigation or for some reason he's not available, injury, whatever. Are you satisfied with the backs?
I mean, to this point, I'm a little hesitant to say I like anyone or not because there's so little contact that goes on in these practices. I'm kind of surprised that Orleans Darkwood didn't stick around. I mean, he led the Giants in rushing last year. The Giants had a pretty bad season. But regardless, he's an NFL team's leading rusher, and he seems like he's visited everywhere. He's visited the Jets, the Colts, maybe the Cardinals too or somewhere. So he's doing the circuit now. Maybe he'll end up with the Bills, but I thought he would have been a good guy to replace LeSean McCoy if he's not going to be able to go. But I think this is going to be another year that the offense is just going to strap itself to LeSean McCoy, in the sense of we know that he's going to get, they're going to try to give him the ball. He's their best player by far. But last year you really saw they didn't just try to go to him. They just kept giving him it. A lot of touches for LeSean McCoy last year. I think that's going to be the case this year. And he's going to, I think he's going to obviously like that, because we've all, with this whole legal situation going on with McCoy, it's almost such an afterthought now that the guy turned 30, and we know the age of 30 with running backs, so I think McCoy's going to get plenty of chances to prove that he's younger than 30, if you will.
Yeah, and with whoever's under center, they're going to be a young, rather inexperienced guy, so you're going to want to hand the ball off to number 25. So let's jump to the quarterbacks. We could probably spend an entire week just talking about these guys more in depth and every single throw and analyzing it. But for this exercise, for this first in our series of daily pods, let's just briefly discuss so far Allen, Peterman, and McCarron, how they've looked. I guess it seems that Allen looks pretty impressive at times, what we expect. He made some really nice throws so far in camp. Also, missing some guys on short routes. But it doesn't look like McCarron or Peterman are really stepping up either. I think this is about as wide open as it could possibly get since the time that Rex was here and Tyrod came in, and that was an open competition.
Definitely wide open here. Interestingly enough, according to ESPN's Mike Rodak, he was tracking the snaps on what team, first team, second team, third team, that the quarterbacks were rolling with. I'm going to try to find it here. Second team reps in 11 on 11 drills. McCarron has taken 22 with second team. Peterman's taken 23. Josh Allen has taken none, so he's only with the first team or the third team. So it's interesting that they're not rotating him in with the second team at all. They're just going either from the bottom or to the top with Allen. And for people curious, Rodak's first team reps all 11 on 11. McCarron is the most with 19. Peterman 17. Allen 9. Third team though, Allen's primarily there. He has 35 compared to 5 for Peterman and 4 for McCarron. So he's still your rookie quarterback is still slow and steady being brought along, but like
It's definitely something to monitor, though, right?
yeah oh
Over time.
definitely definitely I mean, we're only 4 days in here too, Jeremy, so
Yep.
I think we're going to see more reps with Allen at with the first team. But you got to think right now that the leading candidate for opening day, because that's what we're all worried about here, is going to be AJ McCarron. I think coming in, I think Peterman might have been the favorite, excuse me, but so far Peterman's kind of just not really impressed anyone. He looked impressive during mini camp, according to a lot of reports, making a lot of throws. Austin Proehl, then he was connected with him, I believe, on a couple deep passes during mini camp. But so far, it just seems like Peterman's just kind of burying himself behind McCarron, who's not really doing anything spectacular. He's just kind of going out there and completing a couple easy passes here and there and not making the big mistake. So if you're into the not the big mistake, I think McCarron, the good money's on McCarron right now for opening day, but we still have a while to go.
For sure, for sure. So that kind of takes up pretty much the entire look at the offense. We wanted to go there first because there are definitely way more question marks. Real quickly, let's before we close out this episode, jump over to the defense. Let's start at middle linebacker and with the big stud in the middle there, Tremaine Edmonds, who seems to be catching a lot of eyes of media, even veterans on the team saying that he's doing a great job so far as a rookie. Great signs, right? Right off the top for someone who they really need to have be a plug and play guy after losing Preston Brown.
Exactly, Jeremy. I mean, he's setting the bar really high for him himself there. And like you said, all good. Everyone says that he's mature. I mean, you forget sometimes that when the Bills drafted him, he was still 19, so he's still a teenager when he got drafted by an NFL team. A couple days later, he turned 20, still only 20 years old. So the guy is pretty much, I wrote today a piece. You can get more insight at BillsWire.com. A little shameless plug there on the Bills Wire podcast.
Not shameless at all. Do it more. That's what this is for, man.
Absolutely. But Jeremy, a lot of just the word mature is getting thrown around there. I mean, the sentence I wrote is the guy can't go order a beer, but he's going to order Lorenzo Alexander around every play, who's 15 years older than him. So it's quite an interesting situation there. So far, really just the spotlights on Edmonds, of course, is a first-round pick, middle linebacker, 6'5", 250 pounds, runs a 4.54. I'm not trying to find him in an alleyway anytime soon in the middle of the night, is what I'm trying to say. And steady Eddie, really, I guess, from everyone else in that group. No one really depth-wise has really jumped off the charts yet. I think we're going to start seeing that more when we get to the preseason games, Jeremy. But so far, so good from Edmonds, which is great. So we got a 50% chance, it seems like, to have a strong first-round draft pick.
And I guess the other like notable part from the defense that we can discuss here is the defensive end position. They signed Ryan Russell recently, today or yesterday. Also to kind of come in and compete, they seem to want to get a plethora of DNs in there. We already know that they're pretty solid up the middle with Starr and Harrison Phillips and Kyle, but that defensive end position, getting more pressure off the edge, I'm really interested to see with Shaq. You did a good write-up about his quotes and McDermott kind of trying to step up. It'll be interesting to see throughout camp too whether he draws any trade interest. And or he gets any more reps with the first team, because right now it's Trent Murphy taking those reps from him. So I look at the defensive end position, if we want to look at anything really on the defensive side, as an interesting look for fans.
Yeah, that's probably the most intriguing battle, I would say. Course, the quarterback position, because you kind of, because it's a position battle, of course, but it's at the same time almost, I mean, Jerry Hughes wasn't doing bad last year, and Shane Lawson is good against the run, but they, in particular, of course, as you mentioned, they want to generate more of a pass rush. It's hopefully going to work, this plan with Starr, and this is one of my things that I'm certainly watching for when the preseason gets rolling. How effective are these signings going to be? You gave Starr the big money, but now he's got to live up to it. You gave Trent Murphy the big money, big-ish money, and you got to live up to it. Just because you signed these guys doesn't mean it's going to work. Just because the defense was good last year doesn't mean it's going to work, right? They got to go out there and prove it. So I'm definitely interested to see what happens at defensive end, because they definitely want sacks, and it makes sense. You put pressure on the quarterback with that secondary. That's a good formula there, Jeremy.
Yeah, and then real quick with the secondary before we close out, like you said too, these free agent signings, they got to come in and step up. But these guys, even in the secondary, who signed last year with the safeties, definitely Poyer and Hyde, they played so well last year, generated so many turnovers last year. To keep up that pace, I think would be maybe unfair to expect them to keep up that pace, especially with the turnovers, but just their solid play, it wouldn't shock me if they take a step back, and you want to just bank on them being great, but that might not happen. And so I think, it's really funny how this league works. Sometimes you take a certain position or a certain player for granted, and next week they get burned or they have a really slow start to the season. So I'll be interested to see just if they can pick up where they left off, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Jeremy. Just because they were good last year doesn't mean they're going to be good this year. And I think is what McDermott and co. have to be banking on is, as I sort of alluded to before, that this front seven is going to make the rest of the defense better. It's going to make the secondary better, because they did lose E.J. Gaines, who's pretty shut down himself, and they got Avante Davis coming in. Some interesting quotes a little bit today from Leslie Frazier. It just seems like they're not trying to assume that Vonta Davis is, I think they're trying to make him earn it type deal, so I'm not really too alarmed. Unless there is cause for concern with his health, it seems so far gone. Last year, though, he's been healed for quite a while. I think Vonta might have said that he was healed maybe by the end of the season even last year, but he was already released at that point. So, it's definitely, I don't think it's fair to ask Davis to come in and be the next E.J. Gaines, because I don't think he needs to. I think that front seven is really going to help the secondary. And I do have high expectations for the defense, Jeremy, but I just think, to wrap the whole show together, so many question marks on offense that they can't make up for that many question marks. I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on expectations. I'm not thinking postseason at all this year, but then again, I wasn't last year either, so.
Yeah, no, we can't really know anything until the season starts, but our job is to try to find clues and try to find, our best insight and our best guess to see where we think they could be headed. With, rookie quarterback, drafted in the first round, I think that it's just trust the process time. That's the long-term vision of McDermott and Bean. And so we'll just keep going here each day, tracking, the quarterback position, obviously, but tracking the team, hopefully, knock on wood, they don't sustain any major injuries, and we're going to get to preseason football here before we know it in August. And Nick, thanks for joining me on this first episode for our series, starting off as a daily podcast and outlet for fans to listen to whenever they can and whenever they want to. We hope that they jump on board and provide feedback for us at Bills Wire. So, Nick, as managing editor, thanks for jumping on and, sharing that news with everybody. And anything left for you?
Yeah, no. Jeremy, I'm looking forward very much to joining you several days a week and getting our voices out there, because we know there's a lot of different options for Bills fans. And as you mentioned, if you guys have any ideas, you have any questions, you have anything you can do to help us help you guys, and definitely tune in, subscribe, do all that. We're going to be here doing our best for you guys, so let us know. And Jeremy, thanks for having me on the inaugural episode of the Bills Wire Daily podcast.
Absolutely. We'll catch everyone on Tuesday. See ya.